Well, good evening.
Good to see you all back here tonight. We're excited now for session number 3. I thought we had a real good start 2 weeks ago, and we built on that last week, and I want to try to gain some of that momentum. I appreciate that very much. We are missing a couple of folks, which we knew about because of sickness and other unavoidable circumstances and details of life. So that means if you are a sibling of one not here or a friend, you need to bring them up to speed. We need to make sure that they're updated on what our new verses are for the week. Who has their cards? Are you doing your cards? All right. Good deal. These are important. These are absolutely important. And you can stick them with you. We don't want to turn them into phylacteries like the prideful Pharisees would do. They would take these strips of scripture verses and they put them in a little leather box or container of some sort. Then they would strap them to their foreheads so that as they walked around, everybody would see, and obviously the bigger the box they could strap to their forehead, the more impressive they were because they had more Bible verses stored away in there. But we don't want to turn into that. But we do want to use these cards for our own review, for our own reinforcement. I'm going to share some things with you tonight as it relates to memory itself and how much we lose when we don't review and how much we lose when we don't read, when we don't hear things out loud, all the methods that we're trying to encourage us to use, visual, audio, repetition, writing it out. I tell you, writing it out is the best thing you can do to lock it into your long-term memory. Okay, so let's get started with that. Let me get the projector turned on. We'll start with prayer. And then we'll review verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Is there anybody that can do all four of the verses? All four of them? All four of them? Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, we'll all four of them? All right. Well, we'll pray first, and then we'll go one at a time, and we'll see how we can do with these four verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for, once again, the privilege that we have to come together as families, Father, as a church family, as brothers and sisters together, and the opportunity we have to hide your word in our heart. I thank you for the discipline of memorizing Scripture, for placing it within our heart, Father, where we can treasure it, and where as we treasure it in our heart, Father, we might not sin against thee. So, Father, we ask for your help tonight as we review what we've already learned and as we look forward to new things. I thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are learning the six keys. Six keys. And I'm going to hide that so that you don't cheat. All right? Key number one is loved by Jesus, right? And what verse do we have that tells us, just the address, scripture address, what verse do we have that tells us we're loved by Jesus? Cameron? John 15:9. All right. And we are loved by Jesus, that we are told that in John 15:9. And who can recite John 15:9? Word for word, who can recite John 15:9? Last time I know I overloaded this side of the room. Let me start back here then. Can you do John 15:9? Can you stand up so I can hear you? John 15:9? Just now. Okay, I know it's pressure. It really is. Okay. Jacob. Loved by Jesus. That's it. That's it. There you go. All right, so our first key is loved by Jesus. What's our second key? Loved by God the Father. Loved by the Father, okay? And what is the Bible verse that tells us we're loved by the Father? Do you know, Lily? What is the verse? It is John 3:16. That's right, okay? It is John 3:16. And Courtney. Not Courtney, I'm sorry. Carrie. Yes, Carrie. Can you do John 3:16 for us? That's it. Amen. All right. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? Do you have everlasting life? Do you have everlasting life? Is there anybody here that does not have everlasting life? We'll talk to you about that after class, all right? We'll talk to you about that. Because whoever means, who does whoever mean? Yeah, are you a whoever? Okay, yeah, whoever is whoever. It's anybody, it's everybody. We've got to understand that. All right, those are the ones from 2 weeks ago. Last week we learned two more verses. We're loved by Jesus, we're loved by the Father. What's our third key? Holy Spirit, loved through the Holy Spirit. Good. Okay. We got a lot of hand raises here. Now, Cameron, have I already called on you one time tonight? I haven't called on you yet. You said John 15:9 earlier. All right. I'm going to try to spread it around here a little bit. And Carrie, I called on you already. Loved through the Spirit. Loved through the Spirit. Is there a verse that applies to love through the Spirit? Andres. Romans 5:5, very good. Okay. And who memorized Romans 5:5 this week? Am I ignoring this side of the room? I don't want to do that. Actually, people are learning which side of the room they want to sit on based upon where I'm calling. I'm catching on. Okay. Allison. Romans 5:5, love through the Spirit. That's it. Romans 5:5. All right. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. Who has the Holy Spirit? Just pastors, just parents, old people? Believers. There you go. Okay. So again, if you raised your hand on that question about do you have eternal life, you should also raise your hand on that question that yes, you have the Holy Spirit. He's been poured forth. There we go. Okay? Ave wants to answer something. She's just begging to answer something. I'll find something Ave can answer. How about that? All right. We're loved by Jesus. We're loved by God the Father. We're loved through the Holy Spirit. What's our fourth key? Yeah, that's right. What is it? I should call on somebody. Who should I call on? Our fourth key is... All right, we're gonna go back to Cameron. What's our fourth key? No greater love. Excellent. And what Bible verse do we have for no greater love? I don't know your name. I'm sorry. What's your name? Hope? Okay, excellent. So Hope, what is our verse for no greater love? John 15:13. Excellent. Okay. And who can quote John 15:13 that tells us no greater love? Has anybody memorized that? Okay. I'm going to go back to that corner again. All right, Cameron. John 15:13. Right. Because John 15:9 was the other one. There you go. All right. That's awesome. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. I'm trying to see, are there others that I don't know names? I just met Hope tonight. We've got some other visitors here tonight. I'll meet you, okay? All right. Not to embarrass kids. I'm just embarrassing myself because I'm trying to learn names, and that's always a challenge for me. I think he who sits in the heavens laughs, and God must have been laughing when he said that Pastor Bob was going to lead a scripture memory class. But... in me is the foremost. What did the Apostle Paul say? Through me is the foremost. Paul was the chief of all sinners, so that he is the foremost might be an example. I'm the chief of all Scripture forgetters. Right? So if I can learn Scripture, we can memorize Scripture together, then I think the whole flock, the whole congregation can memorize Scripture together. All right. Let me give you a couple of things up here, and then we'll give you keys 5 and 6, which will be the first half of our 12 verses that we're doing in over these 6 weeks. In the Scripture Memory Made Easy booklet here, some of you have ordered that, I understand. On page 20, by the time you get into your third week, or just after your second week, actually, they give you some tips and some advice for how to picture your verses. A little paragraph here on make learning fun. Some people just love memorizing and need no incentives or helps at all. But most people think negatively about learning in this manner. And it's all about how you approach it and whether you decide it's going to be enjoyable or whether you decide that it's going to be a chore that you're going to resent. Make it enjoyable. Choose to make it enjoyable. Choose to make it an opportunity where, as husbands and wives, parents and children, and brothers and sisters in Christ, we can fellowship over hiding His Word in our heart. So however you go about learning these verses, make sure that you follow a way that you enjoy, and if possible, find full of fun. Here's some numbers for you, though. These are interesting. About hearing and seeing. Communication experts tell us that our sight gives us 83% of our total sensory input. Now, that's true in my case. I'm visual all day long. Our hearing gives us 11%. Our sense of smell gives us 4%. And our sense of taste, 2%. Obviously, our sight and hearing are our most important senses. And the table below shows how much of the input we remember. And so if all we do is hear something, in other words, without seeing it, if all we do is hear only, after 3 hours, we're down to 70% retention. We've already lost 30% if all we've done is heard it. And after 3 days, it's a tragic number, we're down to 10%. 10%. And these are all, of course, average, and some people are different and better and worse and so forth. But this is just to give you an idea. Now, if all you do is see it and not hear it, it's a little bit better. You can retain 72% after 3 hours. And after 3 days, you double from 10% to 20%. All right. But look what happens with both hearing and seeing. When you combine the hearing and the seeing, that's what we recommend. You read it out loud. You're reading it with your eyes. You're hearing it with your ears. And best of all, you're writing it down with your own hand. All right. Hearing and sight. After 3 hours, you still have 85% of it. And after 3 days, you can have up to 65% of it. And so this particular study shows that the spoken word is more easily remembered if the hearer is able to visualize it and see what is being said. Like in your mind's eye, you can kind of see it. You know, that's why, you know, when I change Bibles, it's so devastating because my eye is used to seeing a particular verse, maybe on a particular side of the page, or maybe lower on the page, or maybe up at the top of the page. And if you associate those verses with where your eye hits it on the page, that's good for your memory, but then you go through some turmoil every time you buy a new Bible. But that's part of the fun, too. By the way, most of us are New American Standard memorizers, but are we, for the most part, 95 updates, or are some of us using the older NASB that goes back to pre-1995? Anyone? Sharon is. I know Sharon is. You are? Okay. You're going to find a word or two, a little quirky here and there. Some of the V's are changed in some of the other terms. Okay. But Sharon and Christopher learned that because Christopher has the 95 update New American Standard, and Sharon has the classic New American Standard pre-1995. In fact, the Bible I gave her on our wedding day. The first Bible she ever owned that said Sharon Bolander on the front some 7,302 days ago. But that was before 1995. So her scripture memory is coming in one of those older NASB versions. All right. Another hint that they give is to preach the words. Now, even if you're not a preacher, I don't think you'll ever be a preacher. It's kind of a fun exercise to pretend you are a preacher. Okay? Imagine you're in the pulpit of the biggest church in the world. You're about to tell the packed church about these wonderful words from Scripture. So, no greater love. All right. You're going to preach this in the largest pulpit. How are you going to preach it? What are you going to say? You're about to tell the packed church about these wonderful words. You announce your text, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. And then, what are you going to talk about them? What are you going to say? How are you going to repeat them? How are you going to illustrate them? And just think about it. Find different ways to pronounce them. Find different ways to say them. Use your imagination and have some fun. Think of yourself as reading this letter for the first time to the early Christians in Rome. I mean, remember, Romans was originally a letter sent to the believers in Rome. So transport yourself back in time and imagine you're a believer in the first century in Rome and this letter comes from the Apostle Paul. And these words are being read for the first time ever. okay, and try to imagine the impact that that's going to have, listening eagerly to every word from the Apostle Paul. All right, we got third week's verses coming up, but before I give you those, I want to read another chapter. I've been doing this. I've done this 2 weeks in a row now. Let me read you another chapter tonight. This is from N.A. Wychuk, You Need to Memorize Scripture. Chapter 3, Why? Why? In chapter 1, we consider the need for memorizing the Word of God. Here we will give attention to further basic reasons for treasuring up the Scriptures. First, we must memorize Scripture because God commands us to do so. Did you know that? God spoke to His people on Mount Sinai out of the midst of the fire, and the people responded by saying, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and He liveth. That's Deuteronomy 5:24. The people perceive that the great and glorious God expresses Himself in words that can be understood. Immediately after that, God said, and this comes from Deuteronomy 6:6, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. God explained further that they were to put out the effort necessary to have His words in their hearts. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Deuteronomy 11:18. God specifically commands us to memorize His words so that we can have it in our hearts. This is His will and His plan for us. We cannot escape it. We dare not say to Him, I don't have the time, or I just cannot memorize. The second reason why we must memorize Scripture is because we cannot really live without it. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're told how God deals with His people, how He disciplines them, humbles them, and lifts them up, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We can exist all right without His word, but without it, we cannot live. The difference between existing and living. We're supposed to lay hold of that which is life indeed. Then a paragraph titled, Why Memorize? Since we have God's Word printed nicely in a book, which we may carry with us wherever we go, why is it necessary to go through all the effort of memorizing it? Why not just carry your Bible around with you and there you have it? As a matter of fact, I remember how a distinguished preacher once boasted before a large audience that he did not memorize Scripture. He inappropriately compared Scripture to the train schedule and said with a self-assured satisfaction, Why should I memorize the train schedule when I have it in my pocket? We will readily concede that he was wise in not memorizing the train schedule, which is constantly subject to change. Furthermore, we are not told, The train schedule have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The travel schedule we may need 5 minutes or so a week, but the word of the living God is urgently needed 10,080 minutes a week, and having it in the mind and heart makes it instantly available at all times. Yes, indeed, daily read the Word of God, daily meditate on it, and your spirit will be daily exposed to the heart and mind of God. Still, much more profit is gained from searching and studying the Scriptures in some methodical way. Martin Luther compared Bible study to gathering apples. First, shake the whole tree. Read the whole Bible through, just as you would read any other book. Then, shake every limb, studying it book after book. Then shake every branch, give attention to every chapter. Then shake every twig by careful study of the paragraphs and sentences. And you will be greatly rewarded if you will then look under every leaf by searching the meaning of each and every word. In studying the word, we seek for truth, not eloquence. We search after profit, not subtle arguments. And best of all, we yearn to find the person of Christ on the sacred pages. By the most effectual way of assimilating the Word of God, is by memorizing it so that it is not a transient occurrence like a caller who stays for an hour or so and continues on his journey. Nay, this Word of God is invited to remain in us, to settle down in us, to make its home in the inner soul, and to live in the deepest recesses of our being. The rationale. Why should I memorize Scripture? Some years ago, the executive officer of a denomination with headquarters in Indiana wrote me to ask concerning some details regarding Scripture memorization. He stated that many of their people were suggesting memorizing the Scriptures, and then in what sounded like a distressing predicament, he said that his denomination had not even developed a rationale for Bible memorization. He proceeded to ask me if we had a rationale, and would I mind telling him what it was, both from the biblical, the educational, and the psychological points of view. The letter was somewhat unusual, but basically it was sad. Here was a large group of presumably Christian people whose leading officer does not seem to know the value and the basic reasons for memorizing Scripture. Since then, however, I've come to believe that perhaps the serious lack of that denomination was not just an isolated case of the problem. I prayed and considered the matter, and after a week or two, I answered briefly as follows. At the risk of being simplistic, I can say that we do indeed have a rationale for memorizing Scripture, and it was established by God Himself many, many years ago, and here it is. One, Thy Word. That's the biblical aspect of it. It's God's infallible, inerrant Word that we are dealing with. Two, have I hid in my heart? That's the educational or disciplinary part of it. It takes real effort to store up the Word of God in the mind and heart, but it is exceedingly profitable. And three, that I might not sin against Thee. That's the psychological or spiritual aspect of it. I concluded the letter by saying, Thy Word, that's the best possession. Have I hid in my heart, that's the best place. That I might not sin against Thee, that's the best purpose. We memorize Scriptures because they are the living words from God. We desire to have in our minds His words so that we may know at every turn what His will is for our lives. One reason why many people do not take the Word of God seriously is because they question the veracity of God. As Satan first did in Genesis 3:1, hath God said? The Bible is a miracle book. It came supernaturally through divine revelation. God moved upon certain men called prophets and apostles in a special way and made His will and His words known unto them. They wrote them down, not in words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. Paul denies the notion that they put down God's thoughts in their own words or in words suggested by human learning. Peter confirms the fact when he said, Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1:21. The Bible came to us from God. There's a couple more pages, but I'll go ahead and stop there. Here's one more paragraph, because this one's got Schaefer in it. The Bible is superior to all other writings. Its excellence is infinitely superior, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, Isaiah 55:9. The inspired writers themselves marveled at its immeasurable greatness. O Lord, how great are Thy works! All Thy thoughts are very deep, Psalm 92:5. Here's the quote from Schaefer. Like a telescope, the Bible reaches beyond the stars and penetrates the heights of the heaven and the depths of hell. Like a microscope, it discovers the minutest details of God's plan and purpose, as well as the hidden secrets of the human heart. I appreciate that. You know, the glories of God and His Word and the power of His Word. To me, the fact that you can drill down, the fact that you can tear it apart in its minute detail is part of the glory of how God designed it. Things that are man-made, the closer you look, the more you can see the imperfections, right? You know, and even attractive people, if you look at their skin under a microscope, it's kind of disgusting, isn't it? All right, you know, and anything man-made, you can cover up a lot. Gary taught me that as a carpenter. He said, yeah, if you mess it up, just that's what trim is for. You know, you just trim it out real nice and no one even knows. You can mask a lot of things. And anything man-made is going to be like that, but not so with God. The closer you look, you just find more and more perfection, more and more truth, more and more beauty. It's an amazing thing. It truly is. Power in our hands. All right. You ready for your next two verses? Your third week's verses. Here they are. So this is 1/3/1 and 1/3/2. This is year 1 still, week 3, verses 1 and 2. God is love. That's key number five. God is love. And that comes from 4:16. And then key number six, my favorite of all six of these, no separation from love. No separation from love. So key number five, God is love. 4:16. And key number six, no separation from love. 8:39. God is love. Now let me go ahead and bring this up in this. No, I decided I didn't like that. I was going to try to put them all up in the different translations we're using. I still may try it. All right, what's 4:16? We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That's my New American Standard translation. If you're doing something else, make sure you write down in your own text what it is that you're learning there. So God is love. Here's the NIV. And so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. That's the living and the abiding, the minnow principle that we discussed previously. God is love. And then no separation. Do you know this verse? You heard this one before? 8, I'm telling you. No separation. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's 8:39. Every time I've learned it in the past, I start with verse 38 and do 38 and 39 kind of as a unit. But all we're requiring for next week is verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you want to learn both verses, I mean, if it helps you to get complete sentences, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This, to me, is one of the most powerful eternal security passages that we have in the Bible. You know, people that think we're going to lose our salvation, I take them here and say, you know, are you a created thing? Are you something present? I'm looking at you. You're right here. You're present. How can you separate yourself from the love of God? This verse says you can't. This verse says you can't. In fact, God can't. 8 is a powerful chapter. It starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation. And I'm looking forward to teaching that chapter in our Romans series. All right, so what's key number five? God is love. And key number six? No separation from love. Excellent. And the verse for key number five, God is love? 4:16. And the verse for no separation from love? 8:39. Okay? Excellent. Excellent. By the way, if you have a chance to talk to him about it, Bob the Son is also striving to get these verses all down in Russian. As well as, are you going to do any recitations for us tonight? Go ahead. And none of us can tell them any different, can we? All right. And what's the second one? All right. And again, thank you. All right. If you're not already praying for Bob, please do, because he's scheduled to be in Ukraine either in August or September at some point this fall and beginning 2 years over there in the Bible college. So pray that he will continue to, even if you can't learn the Russian language itself, just memorize as many verses as you can. And you can walk up to a stranger on the street and tell him God so loved the world. And All right. I have in the first couple of weeks gone ahead and shown some of the things out of the Greek. I think I'm going to stop doing that. If some of the students want to go ahead and do a little bit more of that, we can do that after class. We can do that later on. We're going to do what we can to continue to hold the interest of the youngest ones here in this room. Let me just ask, though, how's it going? Is this working in your home? Is this working in on a daily basis? Is this working with dad? Or is dad kind of the last one to catch on? Pray over this, okay? Pray over this. Make this a feature of your dinner table conversations or a feature of your bedtime, okay? I know at 9:30 you got scripture memory here, and we can use that 9:30 hour on Sunday mornings to help reinforce what these verses are, because we got 6 of them now, all right? Next week we'll have 8 of them. We'll have 10. We'll have 12. And just keep working on these at the 9:30 hour on Sunday mornings, and we'll have the chance, Fallon and Radley are teaching that class, and have the chance to reinforce what we're doing here. Let me just tell you, and coming on Sunday at 6 o'clock and coming out here and singing. It's only the oldest group that sings out here on Sunday mornings. The others are back there singing. I think there's a value to being out here. I remember some of my youngest memories are in the row at church and singing at the hymnal and watching my dad and my mom sing and sitting down together as the pastor was teaching. And I don't remember a single message that was ever delivered, but I remember the countless occasions of sitting there with my family. And the image of seeing my dad and as leading the family in our worship and wondering if my voice was ever gonna drop, and it seemed like all the other teenagers, their voices were changing and mine just took forever and but it's just all a part of it. And then there was that awkward year where you just didn't sing at all because it was nothing but squeaks the whole process through. Great stuff. Absolutely great. I wouldn't trade that for the world. All right. And you kids are the same way. You have a treasure here that God has blessed you with believing parents, and God has blessed you with salvation at a young age, and you have the opportunity to treasure these words in your heart, and the opportunity to come out here to do this. And this is awesome. Should I tell the story? Iran, can I pick on Mateo? Okay, I can pick on Mateo. I'll pick on Mateo. Okay. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks, when was that? We had the Awana Games, right? The ladies were at the retreat. The ladies were at the retreat with Dorothy Braun, and Iran and I have all the kids down at the Awana Games at St. Edward's University, okay? And yeah, Andres was there, did real great, and Zoe was there, and the other Zoe, and all the Awana Games. Well, anyway, I'm sitting there, and the Marine children are sitting there, and I had some fun with them. And I'm asking them, and they seemed a little surprised I knew what their names were. And then we're talking, and then I asked, I said, you guys go to church? They said, oh, yes, we go to church. What church do you go to? We go to Austin Bible Church. I'm thinking, cool, all right, that's great. And then I asked, and Andres wasn't here for that. He was down with his buddies, so it was just Mateo and Ave and Rafa. And so I'm saying, and who's your pastor at Austin Bible Church? And he didn't either know or say, or he was embarrassed. He thought I was goofy. And he's looking at me, and I'm not sure. So I said, okay. Well, Mateo, here's what we're going to do. I want to make sure you know who your pastor is. I want to make sure you know who Zoe's daddy is. All right? And if we can connect it there, then we can connect something anyway. But to me, this is critical. I tell the teenagers this, too. I tell the teenagers this. We have teen class twice a month. I want our teenagers to know that I'm not just their parents' pastor. All right? I'm their pastor. And the idea is that it's happening so much. It's 90% is the terrible statistic of kids that are leaving home, going to college, and leaving church, and leaving their spiritual walk behind. Tragic. And I want our young people to know that I'm not their parents' pastor. I'm their pastor. And we're all one body in Christ. We're learning together. We're growing together. We're memorizing Scripture together. We're messing up the no greater love has a man than this. Greater love has no one than this. Okay? I'll get it one of these times. Okay? And that's part of how we grow together. So I'm going to help you, and you're going to help me, and we're going to grow together, and Christ is going to be glorified, and it's going to be a good thing. So, all right, and next time I ask Mateo who his pastor is, he's going to know. He's going to say, quit asking me those goofy questions. All right. But keep it up. Be encouraged. We've got 3 weeks done now, and we're going to keep doing them week after week after week. And there's nothing but reward, nothing but good things that happen when we put these scriptures in our minds. All right. Any questions? Anything before we pray and dismiss? We can stick around a little bit and we can drill one another. You have a question, Cameron? What's your question? Which one? Five or six? Both? Okay. Key number five, God is love, and the verse is 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. That's not the Gospel of John. That's 1 John. You understand there's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Those are different books from the Gospel of John. So this is 1 John 4:16. And then key number six, no separation from love. That comes from Romans. It's our second one from Romans. Romans 8:39, no separation from love. Romans 8:39. All right. And Christopher, you've got to make sure your siblings have, your sisters have these verses. Any other questions? All right, let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the privilege we have to come together. I thank you, Father, for the youngest of children here in this room, Father, has the opportunity to understand the gospel and to begin the process of learning your word. And it's a joy, Father. It's a delight. I thank you for this. I pray that you would continue to bless these efforts. We are to be diligent to present ourselves approved. And so, Father, we recognize that it takes work. It just doesn't automatically happen. But, Father, we need to drill. We need to practice. We need to review. And, Father, I thank you for that. So, Father, we give you the praise and the glory tonight for all that you are doing. And we're looking forward to seeing how you continue to bear fruit in the weeks ahead. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.